If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. I'm your host. I have with me today Gary Jones. Gary is a transformational coach, martial arts master, international speaker, and number one best-selling author. He worked for 20 years in private industry, starting on the shop floor to become a general manager responsible for 1,100 staff. It was in this environment that he discovered his passion for developing people, helping many attain top-level careers worldwide. He also runs a Muay Thai boxing gym, I hope I pronounced that right, which combines his love of physical fitness with bringing out the very best in his students through his 40-plus years of experience. Gary has a strong belief in achieving measurable results quickly and effectively. His unique experiences in the worlds of business, martial arts, physical and mental health, and spiritual development combine to create positive change in the lives and businesses of his clients. His vision is to have a lasting impact on 300 million people of the world. Wow. To leave a legacy of more smiles in the world. Please help me welcome Gary Jones. Gary, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And thank you for having me on board. It's an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure, really. So people can't see this, but I can because it's in print. Your name, Gary, is spelled with two R's. Kind of an odd spelling for the name Gary. What's the story behind that?
That's a Celtic spelling, as the normal with just one R. That's a shortened version of Gareth, but the Gary with two R's, it means spear in Celtic languages, particularly Welsh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We're just used to Gary, G-A-R-Y, and it doesn't mean anything. But hey, that's great. So you are a spear. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, the name of this podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling us what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good in life. And the bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. And God knows, we all get hit with bricks throughout our lives. Some more, some less, some bigger, some smaller. But at the end of the day, everybody goes through something. Now, you seem to have a pretty impressive bio, starting out at the bottom on the shop floor, working your way up, rising up to a point where you're responsible for 1,100 employees. That's got to be major. But life wasn't always so rosy for you, was it? Let's start back at the beginning, all right? I think you mentioned to me you were like 6 years old when you got hit with your first brick. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, recently I got asked that question of what's something that triggered you? What caused you to go down this line of thinking of helping people? And I can remember distinctly being in a school playground, and we all have voices in our head. There's nothing crazy about having voices in our head. We all have them. But mine were telling me, this is an illusion, and you're just here to record what's going on. Now, for a six-year-old, that's pretty crazy, I guess, really. My family, and particularly my grandmother, was like, you know, sort of very religious. I got dragged off to Baptist Church, to Methodist Church, to Church of England, anything to knock this out of me, because if you sat there saying you're talking to the gods and what have you, because that's the way you interpret it, then down too well.
Were you having hallucinations, or were you just hearing voices, or
just hearing voices?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the thing is, then when that happens, you're conditioned out of it. You cease to listen. But then there are occasions of like when I was 15 years old, and then rolling occasions that reoccurred through my life where you accept them and go with them, and then you reject it again as well, because socially fitting in with the world and what the world expects of you is not that you're acting upon voices in your head. It's not the right thing to do as far as society understands.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah, it reminds me of, did you ever see the movie A Beautiful Mind
with
Russell Crowe? Yeah. So that's, you know, it's kind of what it reminds me, although he was, besides the voices in his head, he had the hallucinations, you know? Yeah. So now, so that was the age of six and you were getting batted around and, you know, trying to figure yourself out, I guess. But things I guess started to straighten out. And you mentioned to me that when you were 17, you were listening to some of those whispers and you actually avoided being hit with a huge brick. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, at that time, a bit of a crazy youth time of my life. I was living in a house with a group of other males. They were all in a band, in fact. And we all had this crazy idea we were going to go to the Maldives scuba diving. Great. Fantastic. Now, I'm the one that put up the money, put it on my Visa card, which is okay. But as it happens with people at that age, everybody pulled out.
How many were they?
There were four of us going.
Okay.
And
so you got stuck with the bill for four people and you were the only one.
Well, that's the way I'm viewing it, you know. So the bricks that you're talking about, see, I have a thought and a precept that very often those bricks are also gifts to you. And this one in this particular case was to me. By the time the tickets have got the flight on, the flight number, by the time we're to go, there's just me. So I decide not to go. A voice is saying, just there's no point, don't go. And that plane was hijacked. That specific plane number was hijacked. A lot of hijacks were happening at that period of life. You know, I'm a slightly older gentleman now, not so much now.
When was that?
Nobody really got hurt. Nobody got, you know, but.
Yeah, but still.
It wouldn't have been a good experience.
No, getting hijacked is like crazy. When was that? What year was that?
Wow.
Do you remember?
That'd be 83.
Okay.
1983.
Yeah. What airline was it? If you don't mind my asking. Do you remember what airline it was?
Air India.
I don't remember an Air India flight being hijacked. Okay. No, it also reminds me there was an airplane, and I don't remember. I had a friend who was on an airplane that was hijacked in the Middle East, and I forgot where they landed, whether it was Lebanon or Jordan or I forgot what, but they were held for I think a couple of weeks until they were finally freed he suffered psychological issues obviously from that. So, you know, I hear, so even though you say that, you know, nobody was hurt, thank God, but at the end of the day, psychologically, I guarantee you there were people that were very, very scarred. There must have been. All right. But again, you had that whisper saying, don't go. And you didn't go and you avoided that brick. That's, you know, it's a wonderful thing, you know, kind of have to thank God for that one. Now, life moves on. But this time you were 19 when you got a major brick that hit you, something to do with a swimming or drowning. I don't remember. You want to tell us about it?
Well, you get the signs, you get the whispers before you do. So my first marriage, I'm in my second marriage now, but my first marriage, the lady, and we weren't married at the time, but the lady I ended up marrying was a good deal older than me. So much so that at 19, I went to school with what would be my stepdaughter. She was 5 years younger than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then my stepson, he would have been 7 years younger than me. But at 19, we're walking along the beach. It's quite a notorious area in Wales for some riptides. But it was okay. The sea was okay. And there was a dead porpoise on the beach. That was the whisper, you know, to pay attention to. I very often tell that to my clients. Pay attention. more, become more consciously aware of those voices and things that are telling you what to do or what not to do. But we ignored it. We were just playing in the waves. And then a big wave came over. Big, big wave. Now, I've previously, at that 19, I'd already been in experiences of like rescuing people, I suppose, in water. And, you know, all my certificates to do it. We all get trained doing life saving, how to put your arm around somebody and pull them away. But Saffron, that's the lady's name that I was with, was really in a panic. And when you're trying to hold somebody that's in an absolute panic, flailing arms, it's difficult. Now, Anthony, the boy you're with, well, he's a level-headed guy and a good swimmer. Although at the time he was only 15. And he said, yeah, it's no problem. You know, I'll touch the bottom. It's okay. Well, then he couldn't. And then when I looked around, the particular beach we were on from World War II, there's what's called pillboxes. They're about 10 meters by 10 meters concrete block stations that held machine gun posts. And that looked like a tiny little dot on the horizon. I'm thinking, oh, whoa. We really have been taken out to sea by a riptide. Now, saving one person you can do. Trying to save two that are panicking and flailing out? No. So you have to make some decisions. Are we all going to drown? Or do you do the unthinkable? Do you swim away and leave them? And I did. I swam away. Now, the waves were pretty big at this time, and they were screaming. You know, for a long time, I didn't like anybody saying my name because of the associations of what happened then. Because then it went quiet and I don't hear them screaming my name. You know, I had to push them away to save me. And because I still had the belief that somehow I could get to shore and get more help. That was what was driving me. But then I got caught in a riptide and I was getting taken further out to sea. So then you have to come to another decision. Is this the inevitable? And I loved studying chivalry. And there's a saying in that you tackle death, you fight death until every last breath. But on that last breath, if it's the inevitable, accept it with grace. And I thought that was it. I thought, this is it. So just accept it with grace. And I have to admit, it was quite a beautiful experience in a way, which sounds crazy. At first, it was horrendous of taking on water and salt water and that. But once I'd settled with it, it's fine. But then I could see right in the distance, Anthony getting out on the beach, A 15-year-old. And I thought myself a strong swimmer. So without going too long a length into the story, somehow I find the strength, or maybe the tide changed and helped me at that point. Because I don't think you can swim against tides like that. Yeah, maybe the latter was the reason. But we both got out. I ended up with another gentleman going back in, swimming back into the sea to get Saffron out. She was in a terrible state then, you know, and nobody really tells you too much details about giving the kiss of life is the amount of bile you have to fish out of the mouth and everything really to rescue them. And she spent 3 days in a hypothermia bath. She did recover. But the strangest thing is really on that night after it had happened.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you for a minute. Cause I'm trying to understand what's going on here because I can't believe what I'm hearing. The three of you were in the water, right?
Yeah.
It was you, Saffron, and Anthony, right?
Yeah.
You get pulled out in front with a riptide, okay?
Yeah.
She's flailing, he's flailing. You're still keeping a level head. You realize that if you can either...
Well,
you can
not
either,
so much. Well, not so much, to be honest. It's kind of difficult to.
All right, but I'm saying, so you make a decision that If I try and save them, we're all going to drown. I've got to save myself. You start going back towards shore. All right. And then you get pulled out again. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's a particular, where we were is a place called Tawin and Abu Dhabi. So there are two tides that fold into each other, and where they fold, yeah, which is where it got swept to, then they're just pulling you back out again.
Uh-huh. So then you look at the shore and you see Anthony coming out, walking out. Yeah. All right. At this point, where is Saffroni? You lost sight of her. You don't know where she is.
Haven't got a clue. Yeah.
You swim back. You came back to shore. You were able to make it back to shore. You find another guy, and then you go back into the water to try and save Saffron, which you ultimately did. Yeah. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually two guys, and they were from Liverpool. So the one ran to get the Coast Guard because, remember at that time, there were no mobile phones or anything.
Right, right.
So he ran to get the Coast Guard. We got up on the sand dunes. We could see her rolling in the sea. He actually said to me that I'm not too good a swimmer, but if we go back in together, do you think we could get her? Which from a logical reason is stupid to do. That was a silly thing we did in a way, but the result was the right result. It could have gone horribly wrong the other way, and it could have been him and me and Saffron again.
Right.
But it worked, but it didn't. It worked. Wow. The belief was there. We could get her out. So.
Oh, man. Okay. So what happened after that? So she was in a hypothermia bath?
Yeah. Well, the ambulance managed to get as far as it could to the beach, and her mother, Anthony, and she went away in the ambulance. So I stayed because I knew the Coast Guard was coming, and I told the Coast Guard, she'd been saved and gone. Your memory can play real tricks. I'm sure you, from your own experience, Ari, have this, but because there were people on the beach that we were trying to get to help us, and nobody would. People were looking at us like we're stupid, apart from these two guys from Liverpool. But when I remember the Coast Guard, it's sort of almost like I was alone then. Now, I know I couldn't have been, but as my recollection is, I was alone on that beach and just told them she's safe, she's fine, she's gone. And when they left, I just wanted to go back into the sea. That experience had been so beautiful, which just sounds crazy, isn't it? It sounds absolutely crazy to say it was so beautiful, not the drowning, the part on past that of just letting go and surrendering was amazing. And maybe it was, fear of the consequences. I didn't know if she was going to live or die then, and feeling the responsibility and the guilt. Maybe it was just a coward's way out. I don't know. But I just remember that I just wanted to be back in the sea. And it was a really difficult thing not to go back in.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So let me ask you this. Okay. After this whole episode, did you ever fall to a point so low that you said to yourself, you know what? I can't do this. I quit. I'm giving up on my dreams. I'm out, because it kind of sounds like that's where you were at that point. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, my question then is, how did you make the comeback? How did you get out of that depression or, that severe depression and totally turn your life around, to where you are today?
I would think that particular occasion, it wasn't the sort of low point of that, but there have been times before that. And I used to use a really stupid strategy, which was, and I think a lot of people that reach a low do this, will be play morose music. Almost like in this belief, if you can take yourself lower to the bottom of the well, that you spin back out. And it just doesn't work. It really doesn't work. Yeah, that'd be the last thing I teach clients that I work with now. But those were the type of things I was trying to do around 15, 16. A lowest point, I would guess, of my life after that would have been the end of that first marriage and leaving my 14-year-old daughter. That's, you know, in interview techniques, when I was in the corporate world, that drowning situation, I would use that as a technique. I'd ask people what was the hardest thing they'd ever done. Mm-hmm. And then I'd bang, I'd say, I swam away from my kids and let them drown, is the statement I would make. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, embellishing stuff slightly to have a dramatic effect on them, because I wanted to know truth from people in an interview. But it wasn't, it, you know, when I look back now, it's gone past that. The hardest thing I've ever done was leaving my daughter at that time. I would have to say now I've got a beautiful relationship with my daughter, but it was difficult for a while. It was really difficult. And I contemplated checking out then. Absolutely. How did I get out of it? Just knowing that something supports you in the end. If you surrender, what did I do in the drowning? I surrendered. It's almost like if you accept that death may be the next thing, it isn't. You know, it's a bit like the Bible story, perhaps, of like having to sacrifice your son and then saying, that's fine. You don't have to, but you were willing to. If you're willing to die in service of others or rescuing others, then you don't have to.
Wow. So what are you doing now? What are we up to now?
I love running the Muay Thai. Martial arts has been something, 7 years old when I started. So now it's 48 years I've been doing martial arts. Because I see the change in people. That's one aspect. That's like my hobby aspect, I guess, really. And then in the daytimes, I'm working with, whether it's business people, elite athletes, or just somebody who's struggling with depression, anxiety, different forms of mental health. Yeah. Particularly what I've found in life, really, is that those that do things like business, sports exceptionally well also do depression and anxiety exceptionally well. If it starts to go in the other direction, there's no half measures. They do everything at 100%. And it's understanding that they have that inbuilt strategy. That's what you can use to turn it around and just reshape it into a positive aspect. All of that, that takes up a lot of time, a lot of time every week. You know, we all know what the world is going through at the moment.
Absolutely.
Busier than ever, really. And I end up doing, particularly for military and that one, the particular part of the world, I do that for free, really, because of what they're doing for us.
Sure. Absolutely. Wow. You know, it's quite a story. It really is. You know, it sent a shiver up my spine. I have to be honest with you. You know, that was absolutely amazing. Before we go, is there anything else that you would like to share with my audience? Maybe some advice, some words of wisdom?
Yeah. I don't know if you can see it on here. Okay. I'll put that up a bit closer. That's my core belief. Accept nothing. Believe nothing, check everything. Sounds very cynical, but it's a process. Newton didn't accept it. Einstein didn't accept or believe the status quo. They questioned. Questioning everything leads you to growth. Asking the right questions. Asking the wrong questions, what's going to go wrong today? Yeah, that's the wrong question. Asking the right questions. What's going to go right today? Yeah. Oh. But the check everything is the really important thing. It means try it. Yeah. Somebody says something to you of a new perception, a new way of looking, and rather than just reject it, worse so, slam it down or censor it, yeah, is try it. Maybe it does work. Maybe that strategy is for you after all.
Very nice. Very nice words of wisdom. I like to think about somebody once said to me, trust, but verify.
Yeah. A big influence on me in business was Dr. Edwards Deming. You know, that's the highest quality award you can get in Japan. And he said, in God we trust, in everybody else must provide data.
I always heard, in God we trust, all others pay cash.
Yeah. Not for much longer, because how long before cash is gone.
I hear you. So, Gary, if people want to get in touch with you to learn more about what you do, what would be the best way for them to do that? Do you have a website, email?
Yeah. So, website, www, and it's Gary, that's with two O's, G-A-R-R-Y, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, coaching.com. Facebook is a good way to get a hold of me. You can find me on Gary Goldstar Jones. And my email is GaryJonesCoaching@gmail.com. Let's make it all very easy.
Sounds simple enough. Well, Gary, thanks so much for sharing your story with my audience, giving the people the motivation that they need to persevere in all their struggles in life. Good luck going forward. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shomer. Remember, if you feel like you're stuck in the mud, like you're spinning your wheels, wasting time in your career, your business, your life, if you know you're not enjoying all the success, satisfaction, and significance that you desire, then it's time for you to book a call with me at callwithari.com. Check out my Whispers and Bricks Academy. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.